If not, you could be doing laundry, so, you know, it's a good place to be. Yeah, no, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to thank you, worship team. Brad, who was up there, Whit, and Michelle. Amber on the keys. That was great. So I was listening to your set, and, ideally I should tell Brad my series for the whole month, the whole year. Hasn't happened yet. But I just tore apart the last part of my message because your songs just took the turn where we're going. So thanks from hearing from God, and now I'm hearing from God. All righty. Hey, let me ask a question. Just curious. How many of you might have something that you're worried about today? All right, some of you are like, I don't have a little thing. I've got a bunch of things here, all right? And, you know, really, I don't blame you. There's lots to worry about in this world. It's, hey, you guys are back. They were away. All right, they're away. Yeah. You know, when you're a growing church, you can do whatever you want. All right. But really, you know, I think about things that this world is just blowing up all over the place that you can be worried about. For example, any of you have kids? Anybody got grandkids? Okay. So I would say you can actually be worried about their safety, you know, with all the crazy things that are going on in the world. And this past week, I called my sister down in Florida, and we said, you know, I don't think Mom and Dad were worried at all about her safety. Not once. Because literally our house would, if imagine this is my parents' house, we would walk down this street and cross West Market Street to go to the park without an adult. And my sister Liz, who's 10 years younger than me, said, Dee, I think I was like 5 years old, and Mom says, go to the park, you know? But you can be concerned, worried about your kid's safety. You can be worried a little bit about your kid's friends. You can be worried about their mental health. That's a big thing that blew up, thank you, COVID. You can be worried a little bit about, you know, them getting into the wrong stuff, all right? So those are things, just what's going on in the world. And then, you know, if you happen to read or watch the news, you can put a few things on your plate that you can worry about. My goodness, all right? And then, you know, we got this economy thing that's going on, and like interest rates, they're whacked. 4 years ago, they were good, okay? And the economy, yeah. So it's just interesting. And it's so, you know, I talked to a bunch of people, and I've heard a lot of them, they're just freaking out about the finances. You know, like, how are we going to make it? And then if it's not how am I going to pay my bills, especially this younger generation, younger than me, that they're like, you know, I don't even know if it's possible that we can buy a house. Like, it is crazy, the interest rates. So they're worried about that. And then let's just throw in this novel idea about AI. Oh, my gosh, they're going to take over and we're going to be wiped out because of AI. I've heard a few of you. And probably the worst of all thing is when we have something that physically hits our body that we can worry about, okay? So let's say you've got these nonstop headaches or you feel dizzy. And what do we do? Google, WebMD. I have these symptoms. What, that'll make you worry, because every time you do that, it's like, every time, well, if you have these symptoms, in 3 days, you're going to be dead. And I had a doctor one time say, do not Google. Says, call me up, but do not Google. Okay, so basically, it's hard not to worry these days, all righty? But I've got good news. It's called Jesus, and we are in the middle of a series about the promises that he has for us. So week one, we talked about Jesus promised that he loved us, and we said, I'm the one that Jesus loves. Week two, we talked about, I got to double check my notes, that he is the good shepherd, and if you're his sheep, he promised that his sheep hear his voice. Amen? Week three, we talked about that Jesus promised that he'd be with you. And what do we say? Who's in the boat? My boat's got Jesus. All right, last week we talked about peace. So Jesus promises these things to us because he's good, because he's faithful. And he says, so don't worry. Don't worry, all right? So open up to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to camp out there quite a bit today. In Matthew chapter 6, which is, matter of fact, a couple months ago, we started the Beatitudes Sermon on the Mount. Well, this is part of it. So in Matthew chapter 6, five different times in 10 verses, Jesus says, do not worry. Do not worry. All right, so you with me? Let's read this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, everybody say it, do not worry. Yeah, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you'll drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not your life more than food and the body more than clothes? So what did Jesus just tell us? Do not worry. Now, I don't know about you, but I read this and I'm like, yeah, right. How? And how? How do you live in this planet right now with all that's going on? How? And why? Why? All right. So let's start with the practical. Ready? If you're taking notes, practical. Maybe Jesus said that because worry never did anything good for you. Worry never had any positive thing for you. Worry, all right? Matter of fact, worry is the opposite, just causes the opposite, such as, you know, I'm going to worry about this thing, I'm going to stew about this thing, I'm going to get anxious about this thing. And so when you start doing that, worry poisons, say that word, poisons your peace, kills your joy, and stunts your growth spiritually. That's not really good, all right? So worry doesn't have one single good purpose to it. Worry, so and Jesus says, don't worry. And I'm like, okay. So a pastor friend of mine, I'm stealing this. I will see him this week. I'll tell him I stole it. But this is his description of worry. You're sitting on a rocking chair. Come on, everybody. Rocking on the rocking chair. Yep, I'm rocking on the worry rocking chair. I'm worrying on the rocking chair, okay? And I'm not going anywhere. I'm worrying on the rocking chair. I'm worrying. And I'm not, you know, all I'm doing is worrying. But I'm not going anywhere. Because worry won't take you anywhere good, all right? So if you're worrying and you're wringing your hands and your heart palpitations, okay, it has no positive effect. So everybody say, Jesus said what? Do not worry. Now, think about this. When you think about worry, It doesn't solve one of your problems. It doesn't solve any of your problems, okay? So how about this? I'm worried about my bank account. Well, worry has never paid one of your bills. Let me know, and I want to know, okay? Hey, about this? You're worrying about your health. Well, worrying never got you healthier. Matter of fact, doctors say worry is bad. It just does bad things, okay? How about this one? How about worrying never protected your child? Worrying never helped you pass the test. Worrying, as a matter of fact, increases your anxiety. And worry never gives you peace. What did Jesus say? Do not worry, all right? So Jesus promised us, because God is faithful, because God is good, because God is our provider, Jesus promised us, hey, don't worry then. Don't worry. So, in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at three things we're to look at that help us overcome the worry trap. We're going to look at three things that will help you overcome worry. All right, if you're taking notes, here they go. Number one, look to your Father, okay? Jesus teaches this in Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to look to my Father, I'm going to look to my faith, and I'm going to look to my future. I'm going to look to my Father, I'm going to look to my faith, and I'm going to look to my future. So let's talk about it. Number one, I'm going to look to my Father in heaven, all right? Why? Because he's faithful. The goodness of God, because of his goodness, I'm going to look to my Father. In fact, turn over to the next verse, Matthew 6, 26. This is what Jesus said. Ready? Matthew 6, 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet, who? Your heavenly Father feeds them, provides for them. And then Jesus says, are you not much more valuable than the birds? All right. So Jesus shows us that God cares for the birds, the tweety tweet tweets, okay? And then he says, you're much more valuable than the tweety tweet tweets, all right? So he's saying, hey, look at the birds, all right? Now, have you ever seen a bird wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and just pace its nest? Oh, my gosh, ah, how am I going to do this? Have you ever seen one? Have you ever seen them wringing their wings? Okay, all right? And do you think the supply chain is going to mess up the worm supply? No. Hey, listen, you never see that because they just trust there's going to be food. And those of you that feed them, okay, the bird seed, okay? So they trust that there's going to be food. And you know, the same thing's for you and me. How about this? Novel idea. Why don't we trust God that he's going to provide for us? How about this? Trust that he cares for you. Yeah, that was week one. Trust that he cares for you, that he loves you, all right? So let me ask you this question, because this is one that I wrestled with for a long time. What do you do when you have a heavenly Father you can't see? How do you trust, better yet, how do you trust your heavenly Father that you can't see, all right? Good question, okay? So my friend told me this story, and this is kind of answers it. They had a slew of kids, and their last one, you know, the last ones, they're just so wonderful. They have high energy because they've learned everything from the big ones. So their last one is little Sammy. And one night there was this monster thunderstorm, like feels like the roof was shaking and the lightning. And little Sammy gets up and he comes running into the room and he goes, mommy, daddy, I'm scared. Can I come in bed with you? Mommy, daddy, I'm scared. Can I come with you? Can I get in bed with you? Okay. And dad is actually the softy. And under his breath, he's like, just hop in bed. But mom is the one that says, go back to your room. And Sammy goes, mommy, but I'm scared. You know, can I come with you? And mom goes, listen, God is with you. God will protect you. God's in the room with you. Go back to your bed. I am that one. All right, that was me. So, little Sammy turns around and he says, okay, mom, why don't you go with God and I'm going to go with dad? True story. I thought, this is when you know they're smarter than you. Right? You know, those are those just wonderful. But, you know, it just kind of, you know, I kind of get it, because sometimes it can be difficult to trust a God you can't see. And whenever I find myself worried, God, do you even care? God, do you know what's going on in my life? God, this is big, okay? I figured it out. And I remember the Godness, not goodness, G-O-D-N-E-S-S of God. I remember the Godness of God. God is almighty. He's the creator. He holds everything in this universe, which is amazing, okay? And God is the one that defeated the enemy and all the foes of darkness. And if God can do that, he's big enough to do that, he can take care of you. One of Pastor Sherry's favorite scriptures is Psalm 138, let me write down, 138, verse 8. The Lord perfects the things that concern you. The Lord perfects the things that concern you. She must say that every day. When you okay? So if you've got something going on in your life, do you believe that God's going to perfect the things that concern you? All right? So I want to remind you that God cares for you, and he cares a whole lot about you. So if you're worried, how about you look to your Father, because he cares for you, and he's faithful, and he's almighty, and there's nothing that God can't do. So number one, look to your Father. Number two, if you're taking notes, this is what we learned from the Jesus teaching in Matthew chapter 6. Ready? Look to your faith. Look to your faith. Okay, why? And don't you love those second two-year-olds? Why? Why do I look to my faith? Because your faith will conquer your fears. That's your post-it note for the week. Your faith will conquer your fears. Your faith will conquer your fears. So turn over to, jump down to verse 33, Matthew 6, 33. Why do I look to my faith? Because my faith, your faith, is greater than your fears. Listen to Matthew 6, 33. Jesus said this, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things." What things? All these things you're worrying about. All these things you get anxious about, okay? And all these things will be given to you as well. This is it out of the Passion Translation. So above all, constantly seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. All right, so what are we going to do? I'm going to seek God. And you know, you can say, seek ye first the kingdom of God, seek ye first the righteousness, seek it. What does that mean? How about seek the things that matter? Write that down, okay? So what matters? Well, I'm going to get this. This is the thing that matters. So I'm going to get this Bible out, and I'm going to get this and open it up, and I'm going to find what God says, and I'm going to renew my mind to what God says, and I'm going to think, oh, that was last week. Think on those things that are pure and true and holy and just abundantly, you know, all of that. So I'm going to change how I think. So I'm going to seek first, all right? And when I seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, the things that really matter, when we do that, he takes care of the stuff. He does. Some of you are like, yeah, I don't know. Well, I do know, all right? Now, whenever you're tempted to worry, okay, tell yourself before you have a panic, okay? Tell yourself, I am first going to pray. Everybody say pray. You know, always like at the end, you know, people are hanging and they're talking about that. Oh, by the way, we should pray. Like the last resort. How about first resort? Okay, I'm going to pray and I'm going to declare that all things are possible with him concerning my life. You should write that down. All things are possible, okay? And before I worry, how about you open up this word of God? Because this word of God has comfort to it. This word of God will direct you. It says what? In the word of God is like a lamp, okay? A lamp into my feet, or a light into my path, or I probably mixed it up, whatever it is, okay? So this word of God, how about I get into that? Not only does it comfort me, direct me, and a lot of times if you get the word in your life, it'll correct. Like, you're on the wrong path. The word of God tells you you're on the wrong path. How about you get on the right path? Because this is telling you the right path, all right? So, and then how about you get into the word of God before you turn to your substances to cope? Three bowls of ice cream and Netflix for 5 hours, right? And you remember, you turn to your Savior who said, Jesus said about you, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. How about you believe that? So what are we going to do? Seek first the kingdom of God. And so whenever I seek first the kingdom of God, I seek first his plans, I seek first his word, okay? And I start looking to Jesus, wow, the Son of God, wow, the one who died for me, wow, the one who Jesus, who God rose from the dead. When I start looking to him, when I start looking to him, when I start looking to the promises, when I believe the promises, and I keep looking to him, and I keep looking to him, my faith conquers my fears. I was like, God's got it. But I'll tell you, seek first. or your fears will conquer you. Seek first, early in the morning. I'm going to seek first. So my faith will conquer my fears, all right? Turn to, the Apostle Paul. Anybody hear about Apostle Paul? Wait till you meet him, all right? He wrote 2 Timothy 1:7. You all know this, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but what has he given you? The spirit of power and love and a sound mind, all right? So if you're afraid, it didn't come from God. Because he says he's given you what? He's not giving you fear. He's giving you a spirit of love and power. Okay, so if you have this fear thing in, okay, I'm going to, don't go listening to it. Like, shut up, devil. Get out of my mind. Get out of my thoughts, okay? And Satan, get behind me. I'm not listening to you. But man, if you're the birdie in the nest, what am I going to do? Okay, or I'm not listening to you. How about this? I'm listening to my father. My father says he's good. My father says he's for me. My father says he's with me. My father says he's never going to leave me or forsake me. Amen. My father says that he causes all things to work to good for those that love him. I'm not listening to that other voice, but you can. But when I start remembering and listening, my fears conquer. My faith conquers my fears. So, has worry ever done anything good for your life? Nope. Okay. Worry makes you anxious and faith gives you peace. You know right where you are. Okay. How about this one? Worry will drag you away from God and you'll just be trying to fix it, depending on you. I'm going to fix it. Okay. There's part to that. But listen to this. Fear teaches you to depend on God. Faith. Oh my golly, gee whiz, I need coffee. All right. Faith teaches you to depend on God. Worry will get you depending on yourself, all right? Faith changes everything. Worry don't change nothing, right? Faith changes everything. So when you're worried, I'm worried about what I'm going to say today at the water baptism. I'm worried that my 401k has just bottomed again. I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about my marriage. I'm worried about, if I get to the right school. I'm worried if I get the right job. I'm worried if I can provide for my family. I am worried, all right? When you're worried, what do? I'm going to look to my father, and I'm going to look to faith. I'm going to look to faith, my faith, all right? Last one. I'm going to look to the future. And this is where I scratched out what I was going to say, and I was remembering the songs we were singing. How do I look to my future? Why would I look to my future? Well, God promised he's got a great hope and future for you, all right? And he's almighty, all right? So I'm going to trust him. So I'm going to look to my future because I can trust him. All right, let me give you an example. All right, any control freaks here? I know. Control freaks. Did I say that? Not fair. Okay. All right, if you try to lift the arm of the person next to you, you are a control freak. All right? Because you're trying to control. All righty? Now, if you're watching online, you can type, I'm a control freak. All righty? So, control freaks, ready? If you're a control freak, I just want to tell you, you can't change the future. You can't, and I try. But let me tell you, control freaks, listen to this, you can't control, let me say, everything. Because when my kids were little, I controlled when we colored, when we did Play-Doh, and what time bath time was. I did, okay. But they all grew up, and some colored on the wall, okay? But here we go. Control freaks, you can't control everything, all right? As hard as you try to control, the M word, manipulate what you can and what you can't control everything. Everybody say, I can't control everything. So what do, control freaks, okay? You take it out of your hand, get it out of your mind, and you cast it on him because I trust him. right? So when you're worrying and you can't control everything and it's just going bananas, I am going to take it out of my hands, take it out of my mind. I'm going to cast it on him because I know and I trust him and he's faithful and he can take care of me. So if you're taking notes, here's my little things to write down. Ready? Worry doesn't protect us from tomorrow's problems. I gotta worry. I'm not gonna protect you from tomorrow. And worry will actually rob you of today's peace. No amens. All right. So some of you might be sucking on worry, and what you're really doing is believing the lies of the enemy. Believing the lies of the enemy. And this was the kicker. It was almost like an audible voice. I had some big things that I just was repeatedly stuck on the loop about worrying about. I mean, all my energy, my brain just was, you know, worrying about this. And the Lord said this to me. Essentially, D, you are saying that you don't trust me. I was like, huh? You know, one of those. God was saying, what we were saying is, God, I don't trust you. Raise your hand if you would. You'd never say that. But when you get into worry, you're saying, I don't trust you. I don't trust that you are with me. I don't trust that you're for me. I don't trust that you have provision for me. I don't trust you. Man, suck on that. That was hard. So when you worry, I don't trust you, all right? And yet Jesus says over and over, let me tell you about my Father. Let me tell you how good my Father is. Let me tell you how he wants to bless you. Let me tell you all the promises. And let me tell you, Jesus, over and over, that God is good and he has good things for you, over and over and over. And he says this, Jesus, all over and over, okay? Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to have a hard day, okay? But in the middle of your hard day, he'll be enough. Everybody say, he's enough. And how about this? And you know, sometimes worry will just, and things that are going on with your kids, and you start worrying, and there's this pain in your heart. How about if I trust him, and I will have peace in the middle of it? I have peace in the middle of it. In the middle of your lack, how about he is the provider? He is the provider, right? All his resources. Dang, he's got a lot. He's my provider, okay? When you feel weak, he's the provider. He gives you strength, all right? Okay, Pastor D, that's such good preaching. Amen. Glory to God. So what do you want me to do? Just sit around and not worry? Like sit there and do nothing? Like sit there and I have no worry? Back to the birds, you guys. What did Jesus say about the birds? He said, I care for the birds. All right? I care for the birds. And guess what? The birds aren't sitting around worrying, are they? They're not sitting around worrying, okay? And like, but, everybody say but. They're not worrying, but they're doing something, right? They're not just sitting there, oh, God of heaven, I'm waiting for the worms to fall in my lap. One, they don't have a lap, but two, they don't worry, okay? So they don't worry, and they're doing stuff. They're going after the worms. So here we go. There's a big difference between doing nothing, everybody say nothing, and doing something. Okay, this is the balance, okay? And so these birds really illustrate the difference between worry. Okay, now write this one, concern. Worry, concern. Worry versus concern, okay? So a worried person will see the problem, sit in the problem, shower in the problem, and they do nothing. A concerned person, now this is it. The concerned person sees that problem, and they're like, what can I do? Big difference between worry and concern, all right? So, I like to say it this way. If I can do something, I'm going to do something. If I can do something about the problem, I'm going to do something, all right? So, think about your marriage. You're really struggling in your marriage. I mean, I'm going to, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm going to worry about my marriage. Or how about a concerned person? I'm going to pray, okay? And how about I'm going to go get some counsel, okay? You could even go set up an appointment with your pastors. Or if we don't have a marriage group right now, we did before, but we don't have one right now. Anyway, okay. I'm going to do something. How about this one? You know, I have this caffeine crash at the end of every day. What am I going to do? Oh, I'm gonna cut back my energy drinks from 4 to 3. No. How about you cut them out? What can you do? Somebody was telling me that the other day, and I'm like, just cut it out, all right? How about this? I battle depression every time on social media. What can I do? Cut it out, all right? So here we go. Get ready. So whenever you're tempted to worry, just go in the trap of worrying. Here we go. Write this down. I will do what I can do, and I will surrender to God what only He can do. Man, I will do what I can do. And there's things, you know, counsel, do this, do that. But I will surrender to God what only God can do. I will do what I know I can do. If there's something I need to do, you know, there's some things to do. Like just don't sit there. Wait for the birds to drop, the worms to drop from heaven. If there's something I can do, I'm going to do it, okay? If I can love my child who is struggling, I am going to love my child. If I can coach my kids without being the obnoxious coach father on the side, I'm going to do it if I can do it, all right? If I can, if I can pray for my spouse, if I can love my spouse, if they are not being lovely, I'm going to do it. How about this? If I can study for the presentation, I'm going to study. Okay, I will do what I can do, and I will surrender to God what only God can do. So everybody say that with me. I will do what I can do, and I will surrender to God what only God can do. Eric and Lucy, come up here, please. These are my friends, Eric and Lucy. They are back in the beginning. Okay, that's all right. I'm going to get up here. Beginning days. They didn't know I was going to do this. If I was going to talk to you before church and, you know. Help them up, Bubba's. Okay. Help them up. All right. So this is Eric and Lucy. They were back when we started YCF. Yeah, when we were a while ago. All righty. Hold that. This is Eric and Lucy. I've known them since Sherry was a little girl. There's only two people I trusted my little girl to go spend the night with. Was the Glassmeyers, they're not here right now, and the Johnsons, because I knew they're home. Yeah, it's Golden Nuggets parents, okay? Listen, God has good plans for us. He has blessings for us. But we live on a cursed earth, and we have a devil, okay? And he just blows up life. So Eric had worked for a large company.
Yep, Kmart.
For many, many years, and they canned him, basically, sure. All right? At the young age of?
47.
Eric had been with him for a long time, and he had worked his way up, the chain, and he was making, if I'm stretching it, just say, yeah, Pastor D, making a good salary, and they canned him, okay? So at that age, go get a job that pays what you just got canned from. All right, because you still have a family and a home, all right? And as I was talking to them this past week, and this is, I will do what I can do. Well, I want a 9-to-5 job. I'm not taking any second shifts, you know, and I'm not cleaning toilets, okay? I watched Eric and Lucy. Tell me about some of the jobs.
Well, yeah, tell them the first one you had when you got laid off.
Okay, you got to do the mic thing. Go ahead. Yeah. Right to your chin,
Well, I worked for Kmart Corporation, and I got laid off with 10% of management in the company. And
what jobs did you get right afterwards?
I'm not sure if I remember.
Help you. You gotta tell.
I do. Help. Making telephone calls.
I
don't remember because I had so many
jobs on his resume.
I remember.
Okay, did that pay you?
I can tell you how many different jobs I had, but I can't tell you at
all. All right, Lucy, jump in and tell them another job you had. You just told me the other day.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, but that's another way. That's
Right. Yes, and that was making telephone calls, and then he got a job with. Oh, I know. Yes. Oh, he had a friend that decided that he wanted to go into a business, in a restaurant business.
Yeah.
So he got Rick involved. Rick didn't really want to do it, but Rick has a good heart and decided he'd follow through with that. And what happened?
And
it lasted.
We were building a restaurant at the time, and when they completed it, they said, "Well, we really don't need you because the company, the restaurant, really couldn't afford three people." So, asked me to hit the road.
Yep. So I will do what I can do. I will take the jobs. What was the other one? A job you worked for 2 weeks, and then someone called you up and said, "I've got a job for a month." I will do what I can do, and then what I can't do, I will surrender to God. And I watched. Go ahead.
We went and worked for a company that etches glass.
Yeah. With Stacy's mom.
And we were there for 2 weeks, and then after that, we worked doing a book binding and making boxes.
Okay, I will do what I can do. I'm not waiting for the worms to fall from heaven, but I will surrender to God what only God can do. And I watched these guys. I watched God. They were doing what they could, and I watched God move and take care of them. And now they live with their very beautiful daughter, Erica, and their cutie, her husband, Joe, who's a hoot, down in Florida, and they are blessed.
Yes.
I had another job, too, I wanted to talk about. It was in construction.
Oh,
I went from originally as a store manager pushing a pencil to working construction, hanging sprinkler pipe on 10-foot ladders.
Yeah.
And it was a very physical job at the age of 56. And I don't think anybody thought I could do it physically, but you got to do what you got to do. And
God was good. Thank you.
You just got to do what you got
right.
to do.
Go talk to them. You'll see the goodness of God and what God does. Thank you. I really thank you so much. Okay. You know, when you come to church, be prepared. Okay. I will do whatever I can do. But whatever I can't, I will surrender to God, and I will watch God be good. So, what do you do when you're anxious? Pray. Cast your care on the Lord. Why? Because He cares for you. He cares for you. He loves you like if you were the only person on the planet. He loves you, all right? And secondly, you get to tell Him, it's okay, God, I am, God. I'm worried about this. I don't know how to fix this. God, I'm feeling anxious about this problem. God, and you can tell Him, you know, all of that, all right? And then I'm going to cast it on Him. I'm going to give it to Him. Praise God. Let me wrap up here. Yeah, I got plenty of time. You guys are good. Little Sammy. You know my little story, Sammy? Sammy, oh, I'm afraid, I'm scared, can I come with you, okay? So, and Daddy's like, come on, Bubba, hop in bed with me, and Sammy actually did that night. Now, let me tell you what Mom and Dad did not say to Sammy. I'm afraid, can I come with you? Let me tell you what they didn't say. They didn't shame him. Sammy, how come you don't have faith, more faith? Sammy, why are you worried? What's the matter with you? Mom and Dad did not do that. Okay? And because of that, Sammy just hopped in with his earthly dad. Just hopped in with his mom and dad, right? So he turned, because they didn't shame him, all right? Because they didn't shame him, he turned to his dad, right? So guys, I asked in the very beginning, I'm just kind of curious, does anybody ever worry? Okay? God's not going to shame you. And what happens is, in those moments, because I don't know what planet you live on, But I have some moments where I get into worry, all right? But in those moments, I'm going to draw near to him, and he's going to come close to me. So draw near to him. And listen, the devil will tell you you're just a big baby. No, you're worrying. God just doesn't love you anymore. And he'll just tell you all these lies. And you know what? If you listen to him, you draw away from God. You know, that you draw far away from him. And I can tell when you draw away from him. You don't know where you kept your Bible. If you haven't seen it in a year, okay? So if you're listening to the devil, you'll pull away from God. But who cares if you've got this worry thing? Bring it to God. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. And when you realize, and this is the other thing, it's God, you know, it probably takes me 3 seconds to figure out if I'm worrying. And if you can figure out you're worrying, that's a good time to realize you need God. Okay? You know, you need God. So, okay, I have one more story. Yeah, let's see how I'm going to do this. All right. So maybe you're here today and you need a double dose of his grace and provision. I really want to encourage you that Jesus promised he would be with you, that he is faithful, that God is good, that his word is always true. So how about you look to your Father, you look to your faith, and you look to your future. And I have one more scripture, Psalm 145. There we go. Verse 18. This talks about the goodness of God. Everybody, how many of you know God is good? You know, when I hear people say horrible things about my kid, I'm ready for a fight. When people say horrible things about your heavenly father, I'm like, come on, get smart. All right? So, because God is good. Here you go. Psalm 145, verse 18. That the Lord is close, this is the goodness of God, to all who call on him. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. So if you're anxious, if you're hurting, if you're worrying, might be evidence that you need to draw near to him. Draw near to him, okay? So how about, let's do that. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Praise God. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you by the power of your Holy Spirit that you are working in hearts today. Work in hearts today. And if you're here today and you've got some real concerns, you've got this weight, you've got this burden, you got this worry, you're just feeling anxious, with nobody looking around, would you raise your hand and say, I'm worrying about this situation. The doctor's report, my kids, my company is looking shaky. If you've got a worry or a concern, would you raise your hands? Okay. Okay, I see those hands. So what we're going to do right now is by faith, I want you to by faith imagine, I want you to give that out of your hands into God's. Just, you know, just, God, I'm giving you this, okay? I'm turning it over to you. God, I am turning this over to you. Say, you know, Jesus, take me. You're my marriage. God, I trust you with my finances. God, I trust you with my children. God, I trust you with my grandchildren. God, I trust you with my health. God, I am turning this over to you. I trust you with the health of my loved one. Lord, I trust you with my career. Lord, I trust you with my future. Lord, I have tried to fix this, and I can't, and I trust you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so whatever I can do, I'm going to do. One, I'm going to pray, okay? And then I'm going to surrender to the Lord. And that's that trust thing. And I will tell you, it's like feeling the taking your blood pressure. You will know when you are trusting God. Amen? Amen. So, praise God, praise God. How do we, boy, in my perfect world, I'd love you to sing that song, I Will Trust God. Can you do that? Yeah, second to the last one or something like that. Stand up. Come to church, be ready. So sorry. No, I'm not. I'm so glad they sang so well. Praise the Lord. Let's sing this together about I trust you. You only had three of them that were like that. Have fun. Just a chorus or something. I trust Brad. Just surrender all that that's going on in my life, your life, Lord, and we trust you. You are almighty. Who else would I trust? And you are faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thank you for coming. Say hello. Stick around. If you're